you're going to see a lot of different things from ODU this week that weren't in the playbook last week.
It's a great honor. I mean, this is my first one, and I just plan on moving forward with this and getting better every day.
Do they remember it? Do you remember when you know, when they ran out of tickets to the Star Wars movie right as you got up to the front?
You are now inside the Monarch Asylum.
A fresh take from one of the most diehard alums, born from the layout tables of the Mason Crown and raised in the studio of WODU. Now he's back and ready to lead you into a discussion about Old Dominion sports. Here's your host, my main man and yours, David Augadello.
Welcome once again. You are inside the Monarch Asylum, the brand new podcast for 2015, talking all things Old Dominion football and basketball. Though we are heavy on the football tip because we're right in the heart of football season right now. You can follow us on Twitter at ODU Asylum, always good for fresh updates from the podcast, as well as random musings and pictures from what I think about basically everything and anything. You can also find us on Facebook, just search Monarch Asylum. I am the one that is not about butterflies. So there's two Monarch Asylums you'll find. Just don't follow the butterfly one. Or if you like butterflies, you can follow that one too. It really doesn't bother me whatsoever. But just click a like on the Monarch Asylum Facebook page if you don't mind. The voices you heard at the top of the show are our guests as always. Batting leadoff this time will be Harry Minium, beat writer for the Virginian Pilot and Ledger Star, covering all things ODU football. He comes back on the program since the premiere episode to talk about that win over Charlotte and what we saw. And boy, is there a lot to talk about. Batting number two, Zach Pascal, one of the heroes from last Saturday's big win over UNC Charlotte. Conference USA Offensive Player of the Week, and boy, did he earn it with his performance on the field. And finally, David Neal, Miami Herald beat writer covering all things Florida International University, the Golden Panthers, that name's always a mouthful, helping to break down the game this week, what he sees from the Panthers, and what we can expect from some of the key matchups in that game. That's somebody he's talking about losing those last-second tickets like you're in line at Star Wars, where he's talking about that game last year that FIU lost to Old Dominion. They remember that game. They remember that feeling, and I think revenge is a little bit in the hearts and minds of those Golden Panthers as the Old Dominion prepares to take on Florida International in Miami this weekend. Can't tell you how excited I am about that game. Want to send a quick thanks to Jason Bryant for my new intro. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason M. Bryant. Jason and I go way back to college when we went to Old Dominion together. We did some work at WODU together going on 20 years ago. I feel like God, I'm getting old. And his big strength is college and Olympic wrestling. So if you like wrestling, if you like Matt Talk, Jason Bryant is the one for you. Just like I said, go on Twitter at Jason M. Bryant. That guy, no one knows more about college wrestling than that guy. That guy really knows his stuff. So that's a good follow if you like college wrestling. All right, let's get right into it. ODU last week beat UNC Charlotte 37-34. What a game. I mean, what a game. Really a roller coaster ride up and down. And I think we have a season rebirth with what we saw last week. I'm excited. I've got to experience two season rebirths this year with the two teams I've been covering. First, the Miami Dolphins. Languishing, floundering, no life. They fire their coach. They get a new coach. There's a new style of play, a new anticipation. It's almost like the season's starting all over again for them. And that's really a talking point they've been talking about the last couple weeks. And now the Old Dominion Monarchs. An offense languishing, no claws, no teeth. Get a new quarterback. We don't get to see a new style of play. We get to see an old style of play. An old style of play that we've grown used to seeing. So there's some of that old anticipation that's back for Monarch fans, which is pretty exciting. I know memories of a high-scoring offense came to mind watching that team go up and down and score the way they did. But it was a big come-from-behind win over Charlotte, 37-34. And, of course, after what happened in that game, all eyes were on the quarterback situation. Going into that game, at least after the game, Bobby Wilder admitted that going into that game, there was going to be a rotating quarterback system for this game. We were going to see Shuler Bentley first on the first drive and then David Washington on the second drive. Well, Shuler got his chance, went in on the first drive, three passes, one completion for 2 yards, and then two incompletions on two missed passes, probably passes that should have been made. So Monarchs have to punt the ball. They get the ball back, and it's Washington's turn. David Washington gets his chance now. Of course, he hasn't thrown a pass in a college game for a couple years. He does have some experience playing quarterback. He has years of experience in the system, but what was he going to be like? Was there going to be rust there? Was he going to be able to move the offense? Well, if you think there's a quarterback controversy, there isn't. And all you had to do was look at that very first pass. On the very first pass David Washington throws, runs a little play action, lofts it beautifully, 53 yards down the sideline, touchdown, Zach Pascal. Monarchs score, 7 points. The easy way, like they used to do. Like they used to do all the time with those deep bombs, with that quick strike offense. I tell you what, that made the decision easy for Bobby Wilder and his coaching staff. If there was any doubt of there being a quarterback controversy, there's not. It's David Washington's job. I tell you what, it did feel like old times watching that game, too. It felt nice. You know, I missed it a little bit. I was patient with Shuler. I said we got to give him growing pains. We got to give him time to come into the offense. But Wilder felt that, but he also knew he needed to mix it up. And who knew David Washington had this in him? I think this really breathed a little bit of life into this ODU offense, which was struggling a little bit, and more specifically the fan base. I know a lot of you guys sitting out there were just very frustrated with what they were seeing on offense. And what was the solution going to be? I mean, you can only have but so much patience. And David Washington came in, looked cool and calm, and made it work. Bobby Wilder even admitted he had to make that switch at quarterback because he felt they needed a shot of energy. And boy, did he get it. Let's look at David Washington's numbers. 25 of 43, 365 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Oh, by the way, not to mention the 13 carries for 37 yards. And, hey, 1 catch for 2 yards. Let's throw a reception in there, too. 404 total yards for David Washington. I mean, I hate to bring up echoes of the past, but since that offense looked like one we were used to seeing, it was a Heineke-esque performance. David Washington looked poised. He looked confident. Wilder, after the game, said he looked instinctive, that the moment wasn't too big for him, which was pretty impressive for a guy who hasn't played quarterback for that long and who only took 2 days of practice snaps this week at quarterback. Of course, David was struggling a little bit with an injury throughout the early parts of the season, so I think we might have seen this earlier if he was completely healthy, but since he wasn't, it took this long to get to it. Another star on the game, what can you say about Zach Pascal that hasn't already been said? I mean, that guy did everything that ODU needed from a receiver last Saturday. 11 catches, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns. Of course, that initial bomb from 53 yards, and then 2 key late scores from 15 and 11 yards out, the final one giving them the lead for good. What impressed me the most, too, he had 5 catches for 98 yards and 1 touchdown on third down. I mean, that's huge. On third down, to have 5 completions to keep those chains moving and for 98 yards, that's exactly what this offensive needed. And all those catches, they weren't easy catches. Most of those were catches that he had to go get and he had to earn. He really helped David Washington out by catching anything around him. Of those 5 catches on third down, he scored on one of those third down passes, but he also set up a total of 24 points by keeping drives alive. And ODU needed every one of those to pull this out. Last week I said that players needed to step up. Players needed to step up and make plays. Not only did we see Zach Pascal doing that all over the place, another receiver stepped up because there was an opportunity. Travis Fulgham. He's got an interesting name. Fulgham? Fulgham? Is it Fulgham or Fulham? I've heard Fulgham. So I'm going to go with Fulgham because I see that G in there. 6'3", 206-pound redshirt freshman. Listen, there's a spot for receiver open now that David Washington's not playing receiver. You know, you got Marcus Little, you got Jonathan Duhart. Those guys have been a little inconsistent. And you know how Wilder is a coach. If you're not going to make the play, we're going to put the next guy in. And Travis Fulgham really gave them a little shot in the arm early. 3 catches for 65 yards. It was really he had the offense moving. He was the guy Washington was going to until Pascal just caught on fire. And I also like his size. I think it's 6'3". It's going to be good size in the red zone for David Washington moving forward. Looking back on last week's game, there was 4 keys to the games I gave you last week, and the Monarchs fulfilled all four. First of all, get some first downs. It was simple. Just move the chains. Get some flow on offense. And they did exactly that. Big passes by David Washington. Big catches. Diving catches, as I just said, all over the play by Zach Pascal. A couple big key runs on third down. They kept the chains moving. And ODU has shown as an offense over the years, if they can move the chains, they're probably going to find the end zone more times than not. Number two, catch the ball and make the pass. Zach Pascal was, he made so many diving catches, he was determined to catch every pass. And that really helped David Washington, I think, too, because David Washington wasn't completely accurate with all those passes. But he put it close enough for someone to make a play, and finally someone made a play, especially on third down, and not just dropping like was a plague we had for the first 5 weeks of the season. Pascal just caught anything he could get his hands on. It was impressive. Score some early points was another key. And score some early easy points. I'll just throw on top of that. And it was so beautiful seeing that bomb. And that was such, I think the only person who breathed a bigger sigh of relief than the fans was Bobby Wilder when that one connected. Because now they have something working. Now they got something going. And of course, I gave you one defense also. Force some turnovers. Give the short field. And wow, they did that again. This defense, listen, the numbers haven't been that impressive when you really look at them at the points they've given up. But it seems when they have to make a play, they make a play. From an early interception in the second half to that key TJ Ricks forced fumble late in the game, it just seems when this team on defense needs to make a play, they play make it. And they did it again. Now listen, this defense, I give them a lot of credit. They're really playing hard. You have three guys play over at least 100 snaps, which that's a long time to be on the field. And two of those guys were in the secondary. I mean, that's a lot of running around. You could tell early they had problems with the hurry-up offense. They were looking a little confused and not ready at times. But they stuck in there. They played tough. They played hard. They kept ODU in the game. They made the play when they needed to. And that's the best way I would describe this defense, is opportunistic. They seem to always give the offense just a chance. And the offense this year hasn't always cashed in on it. But this last game they did. And once again, this defense giving up 10 points in the second half. You know, Bobby Wilder admitted that after the game, that they are really good in the second half of games, and especially the fourth quarter, but they have to find a way to extend that to all four quarters. They just can't be opportunistic late in games. They've really got to find a way to be more consistent. And finally, we got to give a little love to the special teams, only because every point was needed last week against Charlotte. Chris Kirtley, 3 of 4, the freshman field goal kicker, 3 of 4 field goals, 2 of 3 have extra points. Of course, you want to see him make all those extra points. I'll tell you what, this kid's pedigree, he's out of St. Thomas Aquinas right here in Fort Lauderdale. I cover that team. I go to at least 2 or 3 or 4 of those teams' games a year, and that is a big-time program. And they play big-time games, and that kid has kicked in a lot of big-time situations even in high school. So I know that kid is up for any pressure kick that he needs to take. St. Thomas Aquinas routinely puts handfuls of players in the NFL after their years in college. It really is a high school powerhouse here in the United States. And it's nice to see Chris Kirtley. They got a kid from that school because he's got a history of kicking in big games. And Rashad Coward, I mean, another big play. I mean, he makes one play a week. This time a field goal block, which was key with a 3-point victory. You know, maybe with that one goes through. Now we're going to overtime, and who knows what happens in overtime. So special teams, once again, making a play when needed. This was a complete team win. It's something we're used to seeing at Old Dominion, I'll be honest. It's something they always seem to play well in all three phases of the game. This is a typical ODU football win if you look at Bobby Wilder's resume over the years. He collects wins like this. And Bobby called it a character win all the way. After the game, he said he couldn't speak enough about the character of his kids, staying in it, and how they show great resolve, and he couldn't be more proud of them. Actually, Zach Pascal talks a little bit about that. I ask him how come ODU thrives in these situations? And he says, we don't really like those situations, but they prepare. They're so big into preparation and situational football that when they get in these moments, it's not something new for them. It's something they've practiced and repeated over and over. Well, right now, let's talk a little bit more about this game. Let's bring on Harry Minium once again, back on the program, the ODU beat writer for the Virginian Pilot. Harry, how's your season been so far?
Boy, a lot has changed since the last time we talked, hasn't it? I mean, things are really different at ODU.
Yeah, it's really a lot to talk about. You can follow Harry on Twitter at Harry_MiniumVP and also get all of his writing and all his updates at ODUBlitz.com. Harry, looking back on our first interview, ODU is kind of right on schedule with your prediction. You were accurate when we started. You've predicted the first six games accurately. But I don't think we got there how we thought we'd get there. So what do you think of where they've been and kind of where they're at right now?
They have not, quite frankly, had a great season. I think a lot of their fans are disappointed. I think they've been disappointed in how they played. Their defense is much improved over last season, although I think they gave up, I don't know, like 480 yards against UNC Charlotte this past week in the first three quarters. So their defense is not, at times has not played great, especially in the 49-0 loss to Appalachian State. They really struggled on offense, at least until this past week. I mean, their offense has just really been out of sync. Ever since their opener against Eastern Michigan, they won 38-34. The offense looked pretty good. They've been out of sync ever since.
Yeah, it seems to me like the big problem I see with the offense was they just couldn't stay on the field. I mean, I was going to go back and count how many three and outs they've had as an offense, but it was too much. I was getting a little depressed.
Well, they had a three and out Saturday, and then boom, a big change occurred. Shuler Bentley, who's really struggled, the redshirt freshman who's really struggled at quarterback, he's a good leader. He's a good guy. He's smart. He just hadn't played well, and but they've got problems on the offensive line with injuries, and they just haven't blocked well. So last Wednesday, offensive coordinator Brian Scott brought in David Washington and to play quarterback for just a little while at practice. David was redshirt junior from Raleigh. He was Taylor Heineke's backup in 2013, was moved to wide receiver last season and was, a really good wide receiver. And he came in at quarterback the second series against UNC Charlotte after Shuler missed a couple of receivers. And his first pass was a 53-yarder to Zach Pascal, and that was it. David Washington is now ODU starter. He had a great game against Charlotte. Checked off the line, played a smart game, was mobile, and he is, Bobby Wilder said at their press conference today, he is their guy. He completed 25 of 43 passes for 4 touchdowns, 365 yards.
It's not a bad day at the office. I know that's something we actually talked about before the season. Like, could you see a wildcat package or a change of pace if Shuler struggled? And he did. Of course, we needed Washington to get healthy. But are you surprised with it? I mean, he gave Shuler one series. I thought he might have gotten another, but it looks like Bobby wasn't hesitating. And the second that first bomb was thrown, I think the decision's easy the rest of the, not just game, but the rest of the season.
Well, and that's true. And Bobby said at his press conference today that the UNC Charlotte was a game they absolutely had to win. It was. UNC Charlotte is in their third year of playing football. Their first year in FBS, they were 5-6 the last two seasons. This was a team they had to beat, and it was 7-0 when David Washington came in the game, and Charlotte had just rammed the ball right down ODU's throat. It did not look good. So I think he went on his gut here. He says, we have to change. We have to do something to shake up the offense. After the game, he said we had to do something to shake up the entire team because they saw the season getting away from them. They saw a 2-10, 3-9 season on the way. And at least for the time being, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I see Wilder says, I mean, I guess he has to say this to keep Shuler Bentley's, keep his energy up and to not get down himself. But he says, Shuler is not benched. He's still going to play football. But at this rate, it may not be till next year. I mean, right, unless David gets hurt or unless he really starts to struggle.
I think Shuler will play some this year. I mean, there are going to be games where they are well ahead or well behind, and I think Shuler will play. And Shuler, he was a 4-star recruit. you know, a lot of good schools wanted him. Cincinnati, you know, East Carolina. It's hard for me to believe that he's not going to be a good quarterback at some point. And he just, it looked like his confidence, you know, had been shaken. And I, you know, it's a lot for a redshirt freshman to take. You know, he was under a lot of pressure from defensive lines. They played three of their last four games in the rain, and receivers were just dropping passes right and left. It was like the entire team's confidence was shaken. But I think Shuler is going to be a good player for Old Dominion. It is probably not this season. I think David is David's position to lose. And David, he looked really good Saturday.
I know people are tired of me saying this too, but I think Shuler was really hurt by, first of all, with the little bit of the shuffling at offensive line, but the lack of a true tight end, because he's not really mobile at quarterback. So you know where he's going to be. And I think that really hurt him, just always being in that, you know, five lineman, four wide kind of set. And, you know, I just think he could never get over that. That didn't really help him.
I think you nailed that one. You're absolutely right. Losing Melvin Vaughn, who was about 245-pound tight end to a preseason injury, hurt them. So, I mean, Tyler Fisher, Connor Mewborn, Troy Butler have all had injuries of one sort or another. Fisher sat out most of the second half of the Charlotte game with an injured knee. And their offensive line has not blocked well. And Finley's been under a lot of pressure, and he's not a mobile quarterback. So you're right. That really hurt him.
You know, going into this game, you mentioned the drops. You mentioned kind of the inopportune offense. I like this wide receiver group, but I was wondering who's going to be kind of – we kind of need like a go-to guy. You need that third down blanket. You need that guy who's going to step up. And, I mean, Zach Pascal, if anyone stepped up, I mean, 11 catches, 231 yards, three total touchdowns, 303 total yards, Conference USA Player of the Week. What do you think of his performance? I mean, it really came out of nowhere, and it was sorely needed.
I've never seen Zach play anything like that. I've never seen him close to being that good. And he is, I mean, he just had a great game. He made some, unbelievable catches. And now this week he's going to be shadowed by, I think his name, Richard Leonard. Is that the defensive back from FIU? Anyway, they're going to put someone one-on-one on Pascal, and they're probably going to double team him at times. So other people have got to step up, and this, and wide receivers have, you know, they just haven't had a great year for Old Dominion. I mean, Marquise Little has shown flashes of real brilliance. Jonathan Duhart has played pretty well at times. Vincent Lowe has too. But, you know, David Washington was their best receiver, and he's not a receiver anymore. So that's they got to have some guys step up.
Yeah, I think I heard David Washington say after the game too, I guess him and Zach were freshman roommates. And
they were roommates. They were roommates when they were redshirting as freshmen. Yes, they were.
And then also when David made the switch, him and Zach. So you could tell there's that bond there. So I wonder, you know, that had to have played a little bit into it. There's just a real comfort level between those two right there.
I know it did. They said so after the game. They're really close. And, you know, and that means a lot. You know, they're both, you know, they're redshirt juniors. So, this, you know, they've known each other a while, and they've thrown a lot of passes together, you know, during the off season and during practice. So, yeah, their camaraderie, I think, had a lot to do with their performance that Pascal had Saturday.
Now, we all know about Ray Lowry, but he does have the fumble issues. Is it real simple with Bobby Wilder? Is he a little Bill Belichickian where you fumble, you're out until the next drive?
Oh, yeah.
And if you got a problem, you got to fix it.
Exactly. That's yeah. That's it. Yeah, and that's why we saw very little of Ray in the second half against Charlotte. Lowry had a fumble against Marshall when Old Dominion was driving fairly deep in Marshall territory. He had two fumbles against Charlotte, and I asked Coach Wilder about it today, and he said basically he has gotten away from fundamentals. He's carrying the ball out away from him after he breaks for 6 or 7 yards, the ball gets away from him, and in defensive players, you know, they don't tackle him, they tackle the ball. And you know, he says, Ray, you know, if Ray fumbles, I don't care if he's the best, you know, running back in Conference USA, if you fumble the ball, you're not going to play.
No, that's pretty clear cut. And, you know, you hope going forward that now that there seems to be a bit more of a passing game, granted it's only a one game sample size, that maybe that does kind of change some of the fronts he's going to see now going forward and those, the running backs just overall in general.
Well, Coach Waller said today during his press conference that, everyone, you know, the first, ODU's first five game, the offensive tapes have just been thrown out.
Absolutely.
You know, they're just going to look at this one. And I imagine that FIU is going to be defending David Washington a lot more than they're going to be defending Ray Lowry. So you're absolutely right. Because teams have just been lining up and just been gang tackling Lowry. And, you know, you can't afford to do that now with Washington. He is too mobile. I think you're going to see Old Dominion run the options some. There are going to be some quarterback draws. There are going to be quarterback sweeps. You're going to see a lot of different things from ODU this week that weren't in the playbook last week because, frankly, they didn't decide until Thursday that Washington was going to play, so they didn't really feel comfortable making any changes.
No, and I was thinking about that earlier, too. I mean, it's really going to be a tale of two seasons now for Old Dominion because, like you said, there's no reason to look at any tape before last week, and even then you're going to be watching a last week's tape with kind of like, well, what else are they going to do with this guy? Defensively, I know you said they haven't played up to par, but I just can't help but think how long they've been on the field some of these games, how, you know, you get a good stand and there's a three and out and you're back out there, then you get a good stop and you're three and out and you're back out there, then you give up a touchdown drive. They've really had to play behind the eight ball a lot, particularly the last four games. But I do see like some good upperclassmen leadership. I mean, TJ Ricks, 18 tackles last game, Conference USA Defense Player of the Week. And I really like what I've seen out of the D-line. It looks like there's some real depth there.
There are. The defensive line is much better than it was last year. They've gotten surprisingly good play out of their linebackers, but they've really been strong at defensive back, and you know, which is a little bit of a surprise because that was the area where they thought they were going to be weakest. In spite of the fact they've got good defensive linemen, Rashad Coward is really good. You know, Shane Zimenez is going to really be a good player. They've given up a lot of yardage, and you know, Coach Waller says that, you know, that's something they've just got to get better against the run. They have to if they're going to win six games.
Looking forward, I know preseason you said you expect them to beat FIU, lose to Western Kentucky, beat UTSA, lose the next two, and then win the last one. Put them right 6-6. You think they're on that same kind of path right now, or how much does this shake up on offense and maybe the renewed kind of energy that's going to create might change some of that?
I don't think they're going to beat FIU to begin with. I think FIU is better than people thought they were going to be. They played five of their first seven on the road, and they played pretty well. You know, I think Old Dominion is a 14-point underdog, and I think they lose that. Old Dominion does have three games. You know, they can beat UTSA, they can beat UTEP, and they can beat FAU. The others, I'm not so sure. This is going to be tough for them to beat FIU. It's going to be tough for them to beat West. They're not going to beat Western Kentucky, I don't think, unless there's a miracle.
No, absolutely. I mean, Dowdy, the way that kid throws the ball, it's like his sixth year, and they're going to put up points. Every time you look at his stat line, he's putting up 450 and four touchdowns, it seems like. And, you know, I don't know if ODU has, well, the way I look at games a lot of time is I figure what I think the other team is going to score, and then I think about what ODU is going to score, and I just don't see ODU putting up 40 points, and they're going to need 40 points, I think, to beat Western Kentucky. Maybe 30 plus to beat FIU again.
And then Southern Miss was a much better team than people thought they were going to be this year. I thought that was a game that they could win in Hattiesburg, but that's going to be a tough game. ODU coaches tell me that that's probably the second best team left on their schedule, as opposed to Western Kentucky. And, FIU is really good. They're quick. And FIU is playing for the same thing ODU is. They know if they win this game, they're in good shape for a bowl because I think they've got Charlotte and, FIU has three games in a row they can win. They win all three and they're in a bowl game. So.
No, absolutely. Listen, we know, just finishing up right here with Harry Minium from the Virginia Pilot. how much has the optimism maybe changed at ODU? Because we all know that the three games in a row, how bad the offensive look, and to get that shot in the arm and that monkey off the back that David Washington kept saying after the game, is there kind of maybe a renewed optimism there that, hey, we've got something now and we've got a bit of a wild card with people don't really know what we can do? And, you know, how much has that maybe changed, you know, perception or attitude over there?
I think the attitude of the team is much more positive than it was. I think they were wondering whether they would, you know, can we win games? Particularly after the Appalachian State game. But they played, you know, the defense played much better against Marshall, but, you know, they still lost 27-7. But I think after this, I think there's, you know, okay, now we can win. We've got a quarterback who's mobile and, you know, who's throwing the ball well and who's a leader. And, you know, okay, maybe we can win. But fans, I have to say, the crowd Saturday for Old Dominion, nobody in Old Dominion will tell me this, the crowd Saturday was kind of disappointing. You know, there were maybe 1,000, 1,500 empty seats when the game began. When it ended, there were 6,000 or 8,000 empty seats. A lot of people had left.
They missed the hell of an ending.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I know a lot of you wish you had hung around, but there's also, you know, there's been some, you know, there's been some booing and, you know, a lot of things said toward Coach Wilder that you can't print and that sort of thing. So the fan base here is kind of spoiled, you know. First six seasons, 6-6 was their first record. And, you know, they haven't had, you know, decades to establish a tradition. And I think the fans are down. We'll see how they draw against Western Kentucky on Halloween day. That's a noon start. That is one game I always thought that might break ODU's sellout streak. Old Dominion has sold out 45 in a row. And I know they'd like to get to 48 by the end of the season. But the last three games are going to be their toughest to sell out. They've got UTEP on the 14th, and then they have FAU on the 28th, and that's over Thanksgiving weekend when the students won't be there.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I know this FIU trip, it's going to be quite a challenge. I know FIU's got a good young quarterback in Alex Magoo who likes to push it down the field, and Gardner's a heck of a little running back. You know, they're kind of, he reminds me a little bit of Ray Lowry, and they got a really good defensive line. So I'm interested to see that defensive line match up against this kind of new look, kind of read option offense that I'm expecting to see from Old Dominion.
Yeah, I'd expect you'll see David Washington taking the snap and moving.
moving fast. Well, Harry, thanks again for the time. Once again, Harry Minium from the Virginia Pilot. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter, @Harry_MiniumVP, and read all of his updates on ODUBlitz.com. Harry, thanks for the time, and we'll see you when you get down here in Miami. Bring your sunblock.
All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Are out and the streets are gray. You know I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, your mother's words, they're ringing still. But your mother don't pay our bills. Yeah, a sinister kid.
All right, keeping it rolling here on the Monarch Asylum podcast. Song you just heard was the Black Keys, Sinister Kid. There was no more Sinister Kid on the field, at least from Charlotte's perspective last week, than Zach Pascal, the junior receiver. We all know the numbers. Huge game, 11 catches, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns. Zach, how you feeling after a performance like that?
I'm feeling good. I mean, got a lot of confidence now. Just working every day and trying to get better and turning it up.
Take me back to that game. Coach Wilder said they were going to rotate the quarterbacks. You were going to see Shuler Bentley on the first drive, David Washington on the second drive. What was David's like demeanor when he first came in the huddle? I mean, he hadn't played quarterback in 2 years in college football. What was he like in the huddle that first drive?
Well, I mean, we've been during the week of practice, we had like 3 days to play David at quarterback. So I mean, we were running a lot of stuff, staying back after throwing a touchdown. So I guess when he got in the huddle, I don't think he was nervous. as he was when he first stepped into college football, playing quarterback. But, I mean, I guess he got the jitters out on a couple plays and then was able to step in and make plays.
Yeah, well, I think he got the jitters out on the first play. I mean, that 53-yard bomb that you hauled in. You know, I was listening to the post-game your post-game interviews, and you told the funny story how you were watching the Jumbotron. Can you take me through that play again and what you saw and how it came out?
Well, during the week of practice, me and Dave connected on a couple bombs, and I realized Dave has a very strong arm, so I have to run as fast as I can. So during the game, as I'm running, I tried not to look back, because when you look back, it slows you down a little bit. So I used any way I can. I looked up, and I seen Dave on the Jumbotron throwing. I seen him throwing, and I realized, like, the way he was throwing it deep. So it was, like, coming to me, and I ran. I just kept running, and I turned around, the ball was in the air, and just tried to make a play on it.
Your statistics last week also garnered you Conference USA Player of the Week. What does that mean when you get something like that? I know it's a personal accolade, but they're still pretty nice to get.
It's a great honor. I mean, this is my first one, and I just kind of moving forward with this and getting better every day.
On third down, I think you were pretty impressive last week on third down. Third down, especially in the fourth quarter, you had 5 catches, 98 yards, 1 touchdown, and then it also set up 16 other points. Was that like a point of emphasis for you and maybe among the other receivers to kind of make the big catches when needed? Because I know, at least I feel, that was missing the first 5 weeks of the season.
Well, I mean, it's not just the emphasis on the receivers. It's an emphasis on the whole team, defense and offense. We practice a lot of third down situations in practice, and we battle it out offense versus defense, who would get the most, and it helps us in the game time. So, you know, third down, we must be the first. Or our coach will let us know it's a 2-down situation, 3rd, play 4th. So we go over it all in practice. We have a lot of situations in football. So when it comes to 3rd down in the game, we know, like, okay, we need this play. We have to make this catch. Otherwise, we're getting the ball right back to the other team.
How is it with David? I know you have a relationship with him. I mean, you're a freshman, you're roommates, I believe. And I know you worked a lot with him when he first made the switch to receivers. So it seems to me there's a bit of a rapport with you two there. Does that help translate what you guys do off the field, how close you are? Does that help translate onto the field?
Almost definitely. I mean, when Dave was playing quarterback, me and him during the winter, during the summer, all summer coming out here, just us two, and we're just throwing deep balls, throwing digs, throwing throws and things like that. And, well, even though Dave didn't start when Taylor was here, we always had that connection. I knew at a point in time Dave would come in. And I don't know if you remember, but when we played Howard 1 year and Dave threw the touchdown to me, that was his first touchdown pass, and that was my first touchdown catch. And I just knew he was coming to me because we worked on it so much. And we practiced. After practice, during the day, at night, we come out, you know, so we just both and testing each other. So we had that connection always. And then we moved to Steve, right? So we kind of helped him and grasp everything. He started becoming one of the best receivers we had. How did you keep that ball?
Yeah, well, did either one of you get to keep that ball or no?
Nah, nobody kept the ball.
Oh, okay. I guess that's all right. Liz, what's he been like in practice now that, I mean, it's his job. Bobby Wilder has said that. And I know, I mean, he's got to have a bit of a different demeanor coming in. And what's he been like in practice this week?
Yeah, it's just good to actually see our offense moving the ball and to be able to go down the field. I mean, Dave's an athlete, and he can do a lot with the ball in his hand. And with him throwing, running, catching, we could do a lot of different things. So I'm just excited about what our offense can look like now moving forward.
Well, it has to look a little different. I'd imagine, I know I was talking to Harry Minium, the beat writer, and he was telling me, I mean, I would think that really the first 4 or 5 games defense is looking at, that those tapes have got to be a little obsolete now. You know, now that you have David who can maybe run the read option, are there new plays that we're going to see this week? And how different do you think this offense will look moving forward with David, who obviously has a different skill set than Shuler?
I mean, our offense is not changing too much. We're still running the same couple plays, you know. So what defense, defense is going to be, yeah, he can run. But they also read defenses and throw. Like, he's a top quarterback coming out of high school, and he can also step back and shoot the pocket and throw. So we're just going to do what we got to do, do our job, and let our coaches coach, and we don't have to make plays.
or Zach Pascal here. Last couple questions for you, Zach. What's the attitude just overall down there? I know things were getting a little frustrating with the struggling offense, even in spite of the really difficult opponents you were playing. But there has to be kind of maybe a little renewed pep in the step for everyone on offense and maybe everyone on that team with after the performance you guys had last week.
After the performance, I think everybody is just realizing that we can be a good football team, but offensive and defense and special teams, honestly, we just got to execute. We got guys that can make plays, but it's all down to execution. Once we execute, make the plays we need to make, and we'll be good moving forward.
Last question for you. What is it about these games for ODU? I mean, last year we know I think you guys won three games, the last three games within the last minute. Here's another one down the wire. It seems that you guys really thrive in these situations and enjoy these close situations. Why do you think that is for this team?
I don't think we enjoy it, but we're just so comfortable. Like, we practice a lot, and I can't emphasize how much we practice, how much situation before we practice and practice at end of game situations, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every time we talk about the game situation, and it's like we just, as receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, all around, we're just so comfortable as an offense just to know, okay, we have to make these plays in order to win the game. And we do it all the time in practice. So on game time, we're not stressed out trying to make different. So we just take a breath, okay, just like practice, you know, and just try to get down the field and get points.
Well, Zach, congratulations once again on the Conference USA Player of the Week. Excellent week. Keep it moving forward. I'm actually based down here in Miami, so I'm looking forward to see you. It's going to be beautiful weather for that 6 o'clock start this Saturday. I know weather's been an issue for you guys, so it should be a perfect football condition 6 o'clock Saturday here in Miami. Are you looking forward to that trip?
Yeah, most definitely. It's cold now, but we all know it's going to be hot, nice weather down there. It's going to be good to play in some hot weather.
All right, junior receiver Zach Pascal, thank you for the time, and we'll see you down here in Miami.
All right, thanks. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You better stop the thing that you do.
All right, continuing on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, the next guest, we've got to bring on the program, David Neal, beat writer for the Miami Herald, covering all things Florida International as well as any other thing in South Florida. You can follow him on Twitter at David J. Neal. Dave, how you doing today?
We're well caffeinated, well liquided up with water, and we're ready to yak some FIU, ODU, CUSA, see you later football.
Now, this game's kind of interesting because I know both teams have visions of a bowl game. They got to get to that magical 6-win number. FIU sitting at 3-4, and their last, 5 games left, and their last two are versus Marshall and Western Kentucky, which we all know are the probably two toughest teams in Conference USA. So I think this is a big game for both these teams if they want to hit that 6-win mark.
Oh, yeah. I mean, FIU doing, you know, they're – nobody over there is delusional. At least, you know, outside the football program, everybody's kind of doing the math. And I think at the start of the year, when they went over the schedule, they looked at their next three games: ODU this week, you have FAU, and then you have Charlotte. They looked at those games as games that they've got to have for bowl eligibility. Or they're probably going to have for bowl eligibility. And right now they've left themselves really a little margin for error. I think if ODU knocks off FIU this week, frankly, I think that's realistically it for bowl eligibility. It's hard to see FIU going to Marshall and winning. And Western Kentucky, I mean, since I started this sentence, I think Western Kentucky scored 3 touchdowns.
No, yeah. So, you got to put up 40, you got to score at least 40 points, it seems like, if you're going to beat Western Kentucky.
Right, and not that they can't give up 40.
No, that's
not
true.
That you can't score 40. And in watching Western Kentucky, they're obviously obviously hugely productive team. They've held under 40 only 2 times in the last 2 years. And one of the teams that did it, Louisiana Tech, they just put up 41 on earlier this year. So they're going to give up some points, but they're just outscoring everybody. And so, yeah, that's going to be a tough one at the end of the year for FIU. Probably their best hope is that Western will be looking forward to the Marshall game. That's the following Friday.
Gotcha.
That's their season closer. FIU's bye week is the last week of the season.
Wow, how does that happen? That's odd.
Yeah, that's Conference USA scheduling. I mean, everybody's got a bye week, or actually, it's like FIU scheduling. Their bye week, they've not had one, you know, since they started the season. Their bye week, they will end the season a week ahead of the rest of Conference USA.
Oh, that's odd. Now, listen, everyone, is last year's game, because ODU beat FIU last year, last second. Of course, ODU had a great finish last year. Is there memories of that game for Florida International? Do they remember that last second loss? And is there any kind of...
Oh, yeah. Do they remember it? Oh, do you remember the time? You know, do you remember when you got left at the altar? Do you remember when when they ran out of tickets to the Star Wars movie right as you got up to the front?
So that will be a motivating factor.
That's one of the games. That one, they also lost a game at Texas San Antonio. Same way. They've been in front, gave up the tying score inside of the last 2 minutes, and then committed a turnover that, you know, led to it. At ODU, it was a walk-off field goal against UTSA. I want to say it was a field goal with maybe 30 seconds left.
Wow.
And those two games really jumped out to them because they finished 4-8 last year. So they're thinking, my goodness, if we had just held on to the win that we seem to have there in those games, they're thinking, okay, we're bowl eligible.
Absolutely.
And they lost four games, like I said, four games very close last year. And those were two of them. The ODU one was, I think that was the one that kind of killed it for bowl eligibility for them. And I think that was their seventh loss. Yeah, that was their seventh loss. That was such a crushing defeat, for them because they vividly remember how that game went. I mean, both teams coming up with, they're going up and down the field. The ODU take the 21-7 lead and they're looking unstoppable. And then FIU kind of gets together and they run off a bunch of points. They go up and, you know, they got you got good performances out of, Napoleon Maxwell, who's a freshman running back who injured himself before the season, torn ACL, and Anton Samuel, who is the second string running back behind Alex Gardner. They saw a lot of what they wanted to see, and they thought they had a great come from behind, win, and it just all collapsed on them like that. And afterwards they were pretty crushed.
Yeah, I could imagine, because I know ODU last year was like 3 or 4. They were 6-6, and they were 3 or 4 plays away from being 3-9 because they had, you know, the last second wins against FAU, against FIU, and it was quite a ride. This offense, I mean, this team, obviously, I think they're performing a little better offensively, Florida International, than people expected. Alex Magoo looks like he's a good, solid quarterback. He's not going to put the flashy numbers, but he's just going to move that offense. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, they're interesting discussion today among some of us, non-football program types, media types. Alex Magoo is, like you said, he's not spectacular. He'll run. He's not a great sort of considered a dual threat guy, but he will run and he can pick up yardage running. He has 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. You know, one of the 3 interceptions, you know, a desperate throw on 4th down with the game on the line. And another one goes off of receiver's hands. He's got, 1,600 and some yards passing. He's in the top 20 of a lot of categories. We had this discussion today. What if you take, he's got a nice running back for a G5 level, a nice wide receiver in Thomas Owen. The running back, Alex Gardner.
Yeah, Gardner, 454 yards, 5 touchdowns. Owens, 510 yards in the air, 7 touchdowns.
Right. And You know, Gardner can catch out of the backfield. He's got nice two nice weapons for, like, say, a G5 level. What if he had the, you know, what if he's at, you know, put him on Florida State and he's got a Dalvin Cook behind him and he's got those wide receivers?
Yeah, a nice steady guy who doesn't, you know, who's just going to make the right throw, the consistent right. play. No, yeah, you're right.
And what, you know, what if he has those guys with those talent advantages at, you know, at those positions? And, you know, so the kind of discussion was, could he, you know, could he do more with what if with what's around, say, Everett Golston, than Everett Golston has, and could he do more with what Brad Kaya has around him than what Brad Kaya has? And it, and flip side, what would, how much better would FIU be if they had Kaya or Golston? I mean, you know, yeah, obviously the numbers are, again, against different competition, but you're also, you're playing with,
yeah.
You know, it's who you're playing with. And he's made a lot of good decisions this year. I mean, you know, he's going to have, you know, one throw each game where you go, ooh, one or two throws, you go, you know, you can't do that. But he's a sophomore, and it's one or two throws each game. He knows what, he's making good decisions. Like I said, three interceptions. And yeah, he's gotten lucky on a few, but you know, every quarterback's going to get lucky on a few.
No, absolutely.
Where the guy drops it, you know, the guy dumps your route and drops it. He can still lock in on guys too much. I know last week he had Dennis Turner running down the center of the field, and almost everybody in the press box, you know, kind of started murmuring, that guy there, you know. I mean, he's like 30 yards down the field, you know, uncovered, and Magoo didn't get him through to somebody else. I think it was a shorter gain. They wound up getting a touchdown on the drive anyway, so it wound up being kind of, you know, irrelevant. But he can lock in on guys. You know, and they, you know, a lot of the West Coast offense stuff, their yards per completion, you know, ranks very low, ranks low in Conference USA, ranks low nationally. But, you know, he does move the team. He does tend to make good, like say, good decisions also with the option when they do the read option stuff. They, every now and then they've run this a couple times, an old fashioned, like, you know, option used to have the I formation.
The traditional option. Okay.
Right. Almost, it's an I formation option because there's not a dive element to it, like you get a beer or wishbone. But it's like an I formation option, and they run that, and they really should. They've done it twice, and they did it badly, and Ron Turner said, admitted, yeah, it's in the game plan every week, and we look like we never practiced it. So, but yeah, he's a good, you know, good sophomore quarterback, and a good sophomore quarterback for Conference USA. He's doing a pretty good job. But yeah, he doesn't make you think. He's not a guy like, I think, Heinicke was last year, who's going to put up just gigantic numbers, and you watch him and you go, whoa, you know, you can project him to the next level or
yeah, absolutely.
There. Yeah. He's not that guy, that, a fan or a, you know, like a non-football scout type, non-football type would see that in. You know,
yeah.
Maybe there are scouts who see it.
Going into the game, he's not the guy that you're like, oh, this guy's going to beat us. It's the one I look at is Gardner. I mean, that kid does everything, and he runs real hard,
yeah.
and he runs inside the line, inside the tackles pretty well. And like you said, he's a real threat out of the backfield, and he's pretty quick.
Yeah. He definitely has the best moves. I talked to the running backs before the season, and, you know, it was kind of debated. They were, you know, kind of debatable on who's the strongest. They were debating on who's the fastest, but when you said, okay, who's got the best moves? They were like, oh, that's Alex. he's, you know, he's a shifty guy. He's bulked up a little bit from last year. So, but him being used so much this year, as they have been using, especially the last few weeks, he's in on almost so many snaps. I mean, going into the season, we thought it was going to be kind of a split between him, Samuel, and Maxwell. And it's really been, after Maxwell's injured, so it's really been he and Samuel, and it's really been him. Samuel in, definitely in a second string role. So there's, we were talking about, well, are you going to see him wear down at some point this season? Are you going to see him slow down? And
they might not have time to. They need him. They need to get the win.
But they're going to be using it. Obviously, they're going to use him. But it's, you know, you're kind of going, well, is this? I think it was around game seven, eight last year. It was the Marshall game that would be the eighth game. That was this game coming up. It was the eighth game where he suffered a season-ending injury in. I don't know if that was overuse. I mean, or just, he used exactly the wrong way. The guy tackled him onto the shoulder. But, that's the only thing you worry about with Gardner. Otherwise, he is definitely a dual threat back. He can break a long one. He's a guy who gets behind the defense, and you might have a defensive back that can catch him. He's not, gone.
Yeah.
He can make you look silly in the open field, and he has made guys look really, really bad in the open field. Like plays where in the film room on Monday.
Yeah.
It's a linebacker, and all the other linebackers are kind of like, covering their mouths and like looking at him like, that was rough, man. That was rough. That might have happened to me too, but run that back.
Now, listen, defensively, I know what impressed me when I watched a couple FIU games is I think they got some real size on their defensive line. But we've talked about, we have a new quarterback. They have basically a whole new system. You can throw out the first five games of tape and really just focus on the last one. How do they handle kind of the read option? Because I think they're going to get an increased package this week of really that read option, that option quarterback running, and that really kind of West Coast read option drop back throwing passing. How do they handle those type of quarterbacks?
A true dual threat quarterback has always given FIU problems. I think I gave a lot of people problems, but FIU just really seems to get, I mean, it's sixes and sevens over it. They look about as archaic as that expression I just used. It's based on, keying the defensive end and everything. And I think, if you're going to run that, I think against FIU, you probably want to run it to the side of the linebacker of Ontarius West and not so much the side of Anthony Wynn. And which I'm sure Old Dominion will, they'll do that math. It does, if I can see that, I'm sure people getting paid to figure this out, but, don't need the hint. He's kind of the juice of the defense. He and Trayvon Williams, and Trayvon Williams has been out for several games now after hurting a knee. Trayvon was the middle linebacker. Wint, I think, had just come back to play. He'd just come back for the ODU game last year. FIU's defense it's with Wint and without Wint last year, really. Okay. And even as a freshman, I mean, literally from the moment he went out against Texas San Antonio, it was a different defense. I bet they'll do a lot of that to the side of Ontarius West, who is a safety converted to linebacker, and getting his first play at linebacker this year and playing pretty well, but he's still relatively young and as far as game experience. And read option, all the options, it's assignment football.
Yeah.
It's assignment football. And, you can't get over anxious. And, I think, you get a guy like West who's, he's a redshirt sophomore. They've got a middle linebacker who's a graduate senior transfer, but Jeff Tay Matillis, I always have trouble saying his name.
Yeah, Matillis. He made a lot of plays in the last game I saw, the Utah game.
Right. He's a graduate senior transfer, but he hasn't had a lot of game experience at middle linebacker. He was recruited that way at Minnesota. He did a lot of special team stuff, very little, defense, actually snaps and defense. And then he flipped to fullback for a couple of years. So I think, that assignment football, that those two guys, you would probably run at them. And, along the defensive front, you've got experience, straight across. You've got senior defensive end Michael Wakefield and Denzel Perrine, which are the strength of that front. Amar J. Albury in the middle played pretty well at times, although last week, they really got moved by Middle Tennessee. Darian Dyson's a senior. He's one of those guys who's you know, he's got all the talent in the world. It's, you know, when he wants to show up for a game, you know, he can ruin your whole Sunday or Saturday. Exactly. He'll ruin your Saturday so bad you'll still be mad about it on Sunday.
Nice.
And, you know, he can also have those games where he seems very disinterested and, you know, he just gets moved, like sort of like last week against Middle Tennessee. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how they handle a little more of a read option attack. They handle it pretty well. I mean, North Carolina Central is FCS, and they're a good FCS, but they're FCS. And they ran it against FIU, and FIU just kind of chewed it up.
Well, listen, I know that they're probably going to be definitely motivated going, you know, remembering last year's game and knowing they need this to get bowl eligible. So what do you think? How do you think it plays out right now? I believe their FIU is a 14-point favorite, which I thought was a pretty big number when I first saw it. But they're 14-point favorites. I mean, what do you think the score is? How do you think it plays out? I mean, I figure it's going to be close. I figure it's going to be close because it usually is between these two teams.
Well, I think unless Old Dominion's Old Dominion's defense has improved. And FIU's moved the ball pretty well offensively. I mean, obviously they've moved it well against UTEP. I kind of throw that game out. They moved it very well against Middle Tennessee. The difference in the game was their red zone execution. They really left, you know, as the saying, modern saying goes, they left a lot of points in the field. They should have scored in the 40s easily. So I just see FIU, however many points ODU scores, I see FIU getting 10 to 14 more. Okay. I think they're going to be very focused and, you know, it's also a question of will FIU allow themselves to do that? Sometimes with their personnel deployment and, you know, everybody grabs up play selection of teams that aren't, you know, putting up 50 points a game. But some of their play selection seems a little strange. And, you want to go, hey, do they realize they have, this guy over here who can do this kind of thing?
This is working. Why are you going? This is working. Why are you doing that? Absolutely.
You know, like last week, they had like a 3rd and 20. They ran a bubble screen to one of the tight ends, Kiel Dampodio. Their most productive tight end this year, Jonnu Smith, Joaquin Griner, is going to be out with a foot injury. And anyway, Griner left the game. Dampodio came in. And anyway, 3rd and 20, they run a bubble screen to him, and I turned to somebody and said, you got Anthony Jones, the freshman out of Central, who had shown that why he's, you know, he was kind of given looks by UM late in the recruiting process. He's scored big touchdowns. He's, you know, he made big plays, and he was on the field there. I said, well, why don't you throw the bubble screen to that guy and let the big people block for that guy?
Yeah, a guy who can maybe break some tackles.
Right, don't throw it to the big guy and you know, watch him, you know, kind of, you know, trundle 5 yards before he gets blown over. They do things like that often, and sometimes you feel like they hold themselves back. But I think they're actually been a pretty good offensive team. I see them scoring, putting up some points in this game.
Now, listen, ODU fans who maybe get to watch this on TV or travel, I'm trying to think of the proper adjective to use to define the environment at Ocean Bank Field at FIU Stadium. And, a library-like? I mean, it's just...
It'll be a little different this week because it's actually at night and it's homecoming, and I think there is a little bit of more... There's more buzz than there has been in a few years.
Okay.
The noon game against UTEP is death. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, it was terrible.
You've been to noon games down here for University of Miami when they're not playing, you know, a big time opponent, and you see what that looks like at Sun Life. Well, you know, it's certainly not going to be any better, and it's going to be far worse, actually, at FIU.
This should be one of the better crowds that they've had in years then, is what you're saying.
Well, this should be one of the better crowds they have this year. There's a little bit of buzz. It's homecoming. It is a 6 o'clock start. which just works so much better. And in fact, they're not going to be going up bumping. Also, that's another thing. They're not going to be bumping up against the University of Miami, which plays at noon. Yeah. And, there are people, you know, because what's happened, and I'm sure you noticed that there are people who went to FIU, but before they had a football team. So they're UM fans and they're sort of like, you know, they remained UM fans and then, but then they're also FIU fans kind of. So, you know,
FIU graduates, but they go to the season tickets for the Canes. They don't watch any FIU games. It's really odd down there.
Right. Yeah, it really is. I think it'll be about as good a crowd as I think they're going to have this year. They've got what, 5 home games this year, something like that. And they've got 5 home games, and yeah, they've got a noon against Charlotte. That's going to be death. Nobody's going to be there. And they got the season ender against Western Kentucky, which, you know, depending on how these games go, whether or not, you know, anybody's going to be in that game. But, this will probably have as much atmosphere as there is in an FIU home game this year.
Well, hopefully ODU can come in and can ruin their homecoming. At least that's where I'm seeing it from my side. David Neal, thank you for your time today. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at David J. Neal for all things FIU. And also, just so if you like Miami teams, I know I get to see Dave randomly at Miami Dolphins, Hurricanes, Heat, Marlins, Dolphins, Panthers, whatever, you know, we're kind of have it is, you know, it's a have pen, will travel. So, yep. It's always good to see you out, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm beyond your podcast, man.
Just the two of us on the street. You know a man like me means you know harm.
We're back in the last block of the Moniker Asylum podcast for this week. Forgot to tell you the song you heard before the David Neal interview. That was I Put a Spell on You by Creedence Clearwater Revival, one of my favorites, CCR, my favorite classic rock band. And the song you just heard, Hani Al-Khatib with Dead Wrong. I played that because I can admit it when I'm wrong. I thought this was going to be a roll with Shuler Bentley type of year, and I think it would have been if he showed any ability to move the offense, to move the chains. You know, that's an old Bobby Wilder mantra. Just move the chains. Just keep them all moving. Get first downs. If you do that, good things happen. Shuler did not show the ability to do that, so they replaced him. And I overlooked David Washington. I know he was hurt, so he wasn't completely on the field. He was dealing with a couple nagging injuries. But who knew he had this in him? I mean, who knew he had 365, 4 touchdowns in his first performance, a 53-yard bomb on play action, a beautifully thrown pass to his good buddy and freshman-year roommate, Zach Pascal. I didn't see it in him. Even if he played, I wouldn't expect those kind of numbers. And I don't think anybody did. I don't think Bobby Wilder did. But he got it. And it's good to see. I think we all know that. Another thing with David Washington, his legs, I think his athleticism at quarterback is exactly what this offensive line needs. They've been shuffled around a little bit. They've been dealing with some injuries. It's really been plug and play with all the players they have on there. Week to week, it's a bit of a shuffle job. So when you can have that athletic quarterback back there, not just who can run for a first down if needed, but who can make a guy miss, who can get out of the pocket and stretch the pocket and make the defensive ends and linebackers work a little harder, that's going to make the job for the offensive line just a little easier. And I also think it takes a little pressure off of them, that it don't have to be perfect every time. They can maybe be more aggressive, which I think will help, especially maybe on some of the deeper passes. And once again, to have that mobile quarterback with a lack of a tight end, I know that's something I've been harping on for 3 weeks, but I just really think that hurt Shuler Bentley, is not having that extra protection, not having that quick release valve right there that he would have had from their tight ends. So I know I've been harping on weeks, but David Washington's mobility is exactly what this offense needs, because when you have deficiencies blocking like you do right now, then you need to find other ways of moving the ball. And his mobility is going to be exciting to watch to see what they do. And it's a good thing Bobby Wilder saw this. Like I said, I don't think Bobby knew David was going to put up these numbers, but he'll take them. He'll take them all day. You know, this next game, it's like week one of the season all over again. It's very exciting. I don't think fans really know what to expect. I think we just think it's going to be like old times. Open up that old playbook that you had with Taylor Heinicke and throw it out there. David Washington looks like he has the same type of skill set. So we'll see. I mean, very impressive. Once again, only 2 days of practice at quarterback, and to have that kind of day is I don't think anybody would write it up that way, or at least imagine it that way. Now, there's not a, Bobby Wilder admits there's not a lot more he needs to. He doesn't need to. Bobby Wilder admits that there's not a lot more David Washington needs to learn in the playbook. He's been in the system. He's been in the system a long time, and the system hasn't changed. He knows the reads. He knows the protections. They will make some adjustments. Needless to be said that obviously they're going to make some adjustments. He says they're not. Bobby Wilder said this week they're not running some plays that David likes, and they didn't want to make too many changes going into Charlotte. But I can tell you what, changes are being made wholesale right now, I'd imagine. I imagine you go to David Washington. If I'm the offensive coordinator, Brian Scott, I sit down with David Washington. I get a pen and paper. I tell him to write down his top 10 favorite plays, and that's what I'm going to be milking right there. I'm going to do whatever this kid, he's been in the system long enough, he knows what works for him. He knows what works. And Bobby Wilder has always said, the system plays to the quarterback's strengths. That's what they do. Bobby Wilder has always been that type of guy. What do you do well? How can we put you in a situation to keep doing what you do well? So I think they're going to be very friendly with David Washington. Let his athleticism come out. And now it's going to come up to him to make the plays. It's going to be up to him to perform like that again. And they're going to need it, because I'll tell you what, FIU can put up some points. I mean, I saw them hang 50 on UTEP like it was nothing. I mean, they had, I believe it was 45 at the half or 38 at the half. So FIU can put up some points, and ODU is going to need everything. It's going to be a nice shootout. I love shootouts, by the way. I don't like low scoring games, and I don't like blowouts. If I'm going to be somewhere for 3 hours, I want to see it come down to the last minute, separate the men from the boys. You know, but like I said, Bobby Wilder said there's going to be minor adjustments. You know, but what will they be exactly? And I think it's going to be as simple as opening that old playbook. Just go with it. David Washington's comfortable with it. If he's comfortable with it, then I think the offense will be comfortable with it. Now, keys to the game this week. Obviously, I think they have to. Washington on read option has to be proficient on the read option. That's the number one key to the game. You know that's going to be a big part of it. You know you're going to see that in the package, and he's got to make the right decision. It's easy enough to say that you have the ability to do it, but then you need to show me to do it. And if David Neal is right and FIU struggles with defending the read option, there's going to be an opportunity there for plays. Now, I don't need a big running game. I don't need, 100 yards rushing from David Washington. But, I need him to move those chains on a 3rd and 5, have that read option available, run for 6, run for 7 yards, slide, get down, don't get hurt. You know, that's another important thing. Run smart on the read option. Stay healthy. Stay in the game. Don't be afraid to slide. Don't be a hero. So I want to see how he operates that read option when he's had a week of it under practice and when the big boys are coming after him. And FIU has some big boys. Two, I want to see some more passes to the running back out of the backfield. And I think you might see that now with the ability of David Washington to run and roll out. I think it's going to be more effective because now the linebackers have to be a little more dedicated to keeping one of those eyes on Washington. You didn't have that problem with Shuler Bentley. You knew he wasn't going to run. If he was, it wasn't going to be threatening for big plays. Now with David Washington having the ability to really take off and get some chunk yardage with his feet, you got to keep an eye on him. And while FIU has some athletic running backs, linebackers, I think they could open up some plays for some swing passes out of the backfield, get Ray going, get all those guys. Get a couple swing passes going. I think the ability is going to be there to do that, to run a couple screen passes that could result in some big plays, especially with the way the running backs, Vincent Lowe, Ray Lowry, Jonathan Cox, how those guys run when they get the ball. There's a potential for some big plays there. Number three, and Bobby Wilder brought this up this week, number three key to the game, the wide receivers can't give up on plays. It's a whole new ball game for them. plays normally last, what, 2 to 3 to 4 seconds? But with a guy like Washington who can extend plays, the play's never over till that whistle's blown, and the receivers need to get that in their head. Just because the route's over and it's not thrown to you doesn't mean the play's over. So you need to keep an eye on him, and they need to move around, because I think the plays will break down sometimes. And I think obviously a play will break down once in a while with a quarterback, with David Washington being so new. He's going to see some new defenses this week also. The offense will break down a little bit. Plays will break down. So the wide receivers can't give up on plays. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a hell of a matchup I'm looking forward to seeing between Richard Leonard, preseason Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year, and Zach Pascal. And FIU, they'll get at you in the secondary. And I think that's going to be a nice matchup I'm looking forward to see. And on the defense, I'm looking for them to be a fourth key to the game for the defense. I'm looking for them to be a little more aggressive. You know, if the offense can be proficient and move the ball, and maybe the defense doesn't have to play 100 snaps like it did last week, then maybe you can be a little more aggressive on defense. You know, send an extra blitz, force an extra play, force the issue. I do love Shadow Williams. I love his aggressiveness. I love his size. I think he could be really good on the linebacker blitz, and I'd like to see him get a couple more chances at that. So I want to see a little more aggression out of the defense trying to force the issue. They've already been good at it this year, forcing those key turnovers when they need them. But maybe they can do, if they can be a little more rested by not being on the field as much with all those three and outs we've talked about, then maybe they can be a little more aggressive as far as blitzing the quarterback and going after it. But like I said, I'm looking forward to another tight game. FIU is favored by 2 touchdowns. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, ODU's never lost to FIU in basketball or football since joining Conference USA. I know because I keep a tab on that. I make sure I let all the people at FIU I know cover that they know that. They all know I'll be there. They've already told me they're not going to talk to me, but that's okay. That's okay. I can live with it for one game out of the year. I prefer games to go down to the wire. I don't see why this one doesn't. I just don't know what this offense is going to look like. I think we got a glimpse last week, but it's just too easy to assume that's what it's going to look like again. I do think it's going to be a close game. I it's a pick'em for me. I mean, I would like to say ODU is going to win a close one, but they could lose a close one. They could lose by 10. They could win by 10 if things get going. All I know is it's come down to the fourth quarter. I think the ODU finds a way to pull it out. 35-33, somewhere along that line. Maybe that's a little homerism in me talking, but all I know is I'm pretty sure it's going to come down to the fourth quarter and who's going to make the play in the fourth quarter. And for my money, I've covered a lot of FIU games. I've seen a lot of ODU games. If there's one team I know that makes the play, which team is more likely to make a play in the fourth quarter, I'll say it's Old Dominion. I'll say it's Old Dominion for sure, because I've seen it. And with FIU, I haven't seen it. Though this team is a better team than they've had in the last couple of years, this is a team that FIU that doesn't normally close out games. So well, maybe it's turning for them, but I need to see it first to believe it. So I like ODU this week. I think David Washington is the shot of adrenaline that they absolutely needed. And just I can tell the excitement, not just around the program, but it's around the fan base is really growing. So we got to see what they can do. So listen, if you're listening to this podcast and if you're going to the game, if I don't know who's going to make the trip to Miami or, you know, if you're already down here, give me a tweet at ODU Asylum or hit me up on Facebook and let me know if you're going to the game. Maybe we can meet up, hang out for a little bit. I know this is not a TV game, so you definitely have to give a listen to my boys, Ted Alexander, Danny Mashaw, as well as Doug Ripley and ODUSports.com. They really do an excellent job broadcasting the game. I'm a radio nerd. I listen to a lot of games on the radio. Baseball, basketball, football. I sit at home and do stuff around the house and like to listen to a game. And Ted and Andy and Doug, they really do a good job. Good pregame show, excellent postgame show, getting great guests. And Ted's very accurate on the radio call. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes because I really am I'm a media snob, I've learned over the years. I really demand a lot out of my media. And if you're a lazy media person, I tend not to like you. So, but I guess 17 years in the business will do that. But anyways, it's going to be a beautiful day in South Florida. Hope everyone, if anyone can make it out, like I said, please hit me up at ODU Asylum. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully we have a big win and more positive offensive news, offensive success to talk about as we move forward this season. Because I can smell that bowl game, especially if the offense keeps looking like this. I can smell it and, well, I'm going to have to go. if they do to that bowl game, if they definitely go to that bowl game. Well, I'm David Agudelo. Once again, another episode of the Monarch Asylum signing out. Thanks for tuning in. Please tell your friends. Please tweet about this. Please text about it. Please, whatever social media, fly banners in the sky. Well, you don't have to spend that kind of money, but I'd appreciate any kind of shares you can give me. We're getting good listenership. I see a lot of interest. I love looking at the message boards and seeing the 600 to 700 views every time I post, and I know I'm getting a lot of listens too. So I appreciate the support. We got to keep it rolling. So let's beat FIU this week, and we'll get back to it next week. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.